our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Mike. Hey, how about you take shots at Mike's ranks or something while he's not here? Be nice to me. I'm the one who showed up for this podcast. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
As you can obviously tell, I'm stalling right now, hoping Mike shows up.
I think that there might just be too many sports, and this is too much going on at once, man.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Well, actually, people have been reaching out to me asking about hockey. When are we going to start doing hockey?
Justin, stop lying. No one reached out to you about hockey.
This is, like, honestly made me lose sleep.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 73 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on our return to football is Eli Rosenzweig and supposedly Mike Warner at some point. Eli, how you doing?
I'm good. You ever think that there might just be too many sports and this is too much going on at once, man?
Well, actually, people have been reaching out to me asking about hockey. When are we going to start doing hockey?
Justin, stop lying. No one reached out to you about hockey.
I really have had people reach out to me about hockey. If you are interested in writing about hockey for friendsoffantasybenefits.com or any sport for that matter, go on to our website. There is an apply button for writers. We're always looking for people who want to contribute. They are unpaid positions because we own this place, and that's still an unpaid position. But if you're interested about writing about hockey or about football, basketball, or baseball, go ahead and go on there. I think if we can get a few people who want to write about hockey, maybe some people want a podcast about hockey, maybe we will add that to the site. So definitely go check out friendsoffantasybenefits.com because we have some really cool stuff going on over there. Lots of baseball articles. We have football ranks that have started going up this week. On Tuesday, we had quarterback and running back. I'm hoping to have wide receiver ranks go up Wednesday. Their consensus ranks from our five rankers, Eli, Mike, myself, Eric Mackey, and Ben Brennis. And you can check those out. They're completely sortable by your ranker. If you prefer Eli over me for some god-awful reason, you can definitely go on there and just rank by Eli's ranks
or Mike's. Hey, how about you take shots at Mike's ranks or something while he's not here? Be nice to me. I'm the one who showed up for this podcast.
As you can obviously tell, I'm stalling right now, hoping Mike shows up. But we're just going to kind of plow on without him, and he can just jump in whenever he gets here. Let's kind of start with our first topic. A bunch of news broke in the last couple weeks. In terms of players being suspended for the year, for a few games, Le'Veon Bell, Tom Brady, and Josh Gordon, all suspended for the first four games of the season. Josh Gordon reinstated conditionally, to the league after being suspended for pretty much all of last year, for testing positive for marijuana again. Let's start with Le'Veon Bell. Where do you value him, based on his being suspended for the first four games of the year?
I was my number seven running back. I feel like that might have been even a little low for the rest of the site. So pretty much everyone had him top five, right?
I believe so. I'm pulling up the ranks as we speak. I know I had him fourth.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I get it. I don't know. It's just you got to get off to a good start in fantasy, and the running back depth is not a lot right now, so it's risky to be spending your first pick on a guy who won't be playing for you for the first 4 weeks when you need to get off to a good start to make the playoffs.
I think that's a really fair point. I was one of the proponents last year of Le'Veon Bell deserved to be a top three player drafted. Had it not been for the injury, he would have been worthy of that top three pick in spite of the two-game suspension to start last year. There's definitely some... There's definitely a case to be made that he's not worthy of a first-round pick. And I understand people if people don't. But I feel like he's a guy that you must handcuff anyways. So you're going to get D'Angelo Williams for the first 4 weeks. You just have to reach an extra round later on in the draft for Williams. But I understand people not wanting to do that. And I also understand people not wanting to take a running back period in the first round with how things have been. Looking at our site ranks for Le'Veon Bell, you were by far the lowest at 7. Eric Mackey had him at 6. I had him at 4. Both Mike and Ben had him 3rd overall, so out of running back. So I get the trepidation, but I'm also I believe he's a special talent.
Yeah, there's an argument there. I mean, if you take him in the first round, just make sure you get enough running back depth that it won't be a problem. And then when he comes back, maybe you could trade from some of that running back depth and supplement your receiver core.
Yeah, I mean, because this isn't, you know, we're not talking fantasy baseball here. You know, this isn't a roto format unless you're playing in that god awful roto format you made me play in last year. So you know, the stats matter for the whole year. At the end of the day, it's week to week, and if you can replace him for those weeks, I think you'll be fine. And then you've got probably the best running back in the game for the playoffs in the playoff stretch. So that's my only reason why Bell, for me, isn't that his suspension isn't as bad, you know, for his overall value.
Yeah, I might move him up a spot or two. I think, yeah, like I said, you can make a trade after he comes back, and you can make do, and then once he comes back, you've got a stud on your hands, and...
Because, I mean, I don't know how you feel, you know, and this wasn't on the show notes or anything like that, but do you feel there's a huge drop-off after the first four running backs? Like,
I think this is, I mean, yeah, I do.
I mean, you know, you've got, depending on what order you have them in, Peterson, Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, you know, there's a huge drop-off in talent to Lamar Miller, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, you do have Ezekiel Elliott much higher than I do. So, I mean, I understand that if you believe he belongs in that elite tier, I don't personally. And
yeah,
I'm sure that's a discussion we'll have.
It's risky. I just feel like Dallas is going to go back to what they did a couple years ago, and just like when they had DeMarco Murray, and they just kept giving him the ball over and over and over. And obviously, they have an incredible line, and it's going to be a well-rounded offense, and Elliott could get a lot of touchdowns. So I'm just going with the upside there. But yeah, it's certainly risky, and I put him at 4. Well, I don't know if I'll have the balls to take him as the number 4 running back.
Well, and that's understandable. I think everybody is kind of falling into the same old trap with rookie running backs that we saw with, you know, Amir Abdullah, we've seen with a number of other guys over the years. Mike Warner joining us. Mike, how are you?
Just coming off of work. Nice to see y'all, or I guess talk to y'all.
We were just discussing Le'Veon Bell's suspension and where we kind of rank him based on the fact that he's going to miss the first four games of the year. What are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell going forward?
You definitely have to diminish his value a bit, but we also don't know if he 100% is getting suspended, which is, you know, obviously an issue as well. But I think the main takeaway from this is that D'Angelo Williams is going way too late in drafts. Because, you know, last year he provided an immense value. He was actually the number one running back a few weeks of the season last year, and was somebody that people could depend on as a running back one. And he's still being taken outside of, I think, the 8th or 9th round right now. So I think that that's the biggest takeaway from this, is that he should be the one that's going up draft boards. And then we have to just wait. I heard Le'Veon Bell say that he doesn't know whether he's going to be suspended or not because of a phone number issue or whatever. It's just something we'll have to wait on for him. But D'Angelo Williams needs to be drafted higher.
Is he going to Ryan Braun his way out of this?
I don't know quite Ryan Braun his way out of this. And for people that are only football fans, then they probably have no idea what the hell we're talking about. But I don't think he'll do that.
Ryan Braun got a FedEx employee fired so he wouldn't get suspended for 60 games or for 80 games or whatever it is in Major League Baseball a number of years ago. I think I'm in your camp right there with Bell.
He's getting suspended, man.
But I'm not as worried about it.
Well, where do you guys have him in running back ranks right now? Like, I have Le'Veon Bell. We just did our ranks a few days ago. I have him at 3, you know, and I'm probably going to drop him a bit lower. I
dropped him from 1 to 4.
Which I think is fair. I think if we know he's getting suspended 4 games, I'm going to drop him probably somewhere around 9, you know. Okay.
Validation
10.
On my part. I moved him from 1 to 7.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, not being comfortable. I will tell you right now, if we're drafting today, I'm taking Zeke Elliott ahead of him.
Ooh, yeah, I'm not. But we're going to have to talk about Ezekiel Elliott at some point. It's just it's not going to be on today's episode. let's go ahead and move on to Tom Brady, who's also suspended for the first four games. Eli, you called him a chump. is he still, or no, sorry, you called anybody who took him a chump last year. You looked like the chump after that.
Yep.
Are you taking him this year?
Well, once again, I'm a chump because I just drafted Tom Brady in our three sport league.
I know that's why you're getting thrown to it first. Yeah,
probably the most shocking draft pick I've ever made in any sport ever. I have him ranked at number 8 at quarterback. See, quarterbacks is so deep. So yeah, he's missing the first 4 games, but you can draft Brady and then get like someone like Romo or Dalton really late and just have him plug in for the first 4 games, and you're not losing a huge amount of production. So I think Tom Brady's got some pretty solid weapons, obviously, and Gronk and Edelman. Deion Lewis can catch passes. He's got a lot. He's going to be in FU mode. He was, well, was he like the number 2 fantasy quarterback last year? Something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, he's a monster. So go get him. Like, the price is falling too far, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the price is just is a little bit depressed. I have him as my number 9th ranked quarterback. Eli has him as your number 8th ranked quarterback. Mike Warner, a little bit lower on him at 11. Mike, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady and the suspension?
I get the whole FU mode and this side or the other. I just, you know, if I know a quarterback's going to be gone for 4 games of the season, I'm okay with drafting Brady if you want to go that route. I just think people are going to be taking him a little bit ahead of where I'm comfortable taking him. You know, that 3-sport draft, I was completely okay with taking Brady, but I just wasn't okay with where Eli did. You know, I would have waited a couple rounds. Because if you look at the quarterbacks now that are still available, it's kind of what Eli just said. There's a quarterback is so deep this year. I'm almost okay with waiting until the last round to draft a quarterback at this point, because the way that we can, you know, use them to stream almost like pitchers in baseball is just as valuable. You know, I mean, people picked up Blake Bortles last year, you know, and didn't draft him. And he, you know, ended up being what, a top 8 quarterback. I just don't feel like there's a reason to draft Tom Brady, especially knowing that there's going to be a suspension, you know, FU mode or not. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, and we've had discussions on the baseball podcast not too long ago about what I think of fuck you mode type stuff. I really just don't buy it. I think Tom Brady is motivated properly no matter what the situation is around him. That's why he's won Super Bowls. But I completely agree with you in terms of...
Look at his last 4 games, too. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. Just look at his last 4 games of the season. He didn't go over 300 yards, and he also didn't throw more than 2 touchdowns. The last 2 in particular, he didn't throw more than 1 touchdown. You know, they're going to get Deion Lewis back this year. I think that he hopefully will stay healthy. Regardless, I just don't see, like, a real reason to take him as a top 10 quarterback.
I don't either, but I also don't think there's a huge difference between... Or actually, I'm just inside my top 10, but I don't see the difference between him at number 9 for me and Tannehill at number 15.
I'd take Tannehill all day.
I mean,
the rushing.
Well, to me, it's just like there's not a huge difference between that whole group. Like, if we want to call that a tier, like, I'm just waiting to whoever is last off the board at that point. I'm totally fine taking Kirk Cousins. Like, I'm totally fine Tyrod Taylor instead of Tom Brady if I miss out on it. Let's move over to the last guy that we're going to talk about that was suspended. That is Josh Gordon, who was surprisingly reinstated a little bit earlier than anybody thought he would. He was supposed to meet with Roger Goodell on the 1st of August, and then at the end of July, we're looking at him already. Reports that he's going to be reinstated with a 4-game suspension. Where are you guys drafting Josh Gordon, or is he completely off your draft board, Mike?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Like, with the 4-game suspension, I'll say this. I think that Josh Gordon is going to be a borderline wide receiver 1 when he's on the field.
Whoa,
So, and because that's what he's been every single time he's been on the field, except for his rookie year, he's been a wide receiver 1 when he's touched the field. So when he is on the field this year, I will have him ranked less than a wide receiver 2, which means right now, you know, I think that I'm comfortable taking him in the top 30. In my opinion, I would take him ahead of Jordan Matthews. I would take him ahead of Golden Tate. And then after, you know, I would take him ahead of Kelvin Benjamin. I'd take him ahead of Eric Decker. I just feel like from week 5 on, Josh Gordon, I will be more comfortable trotting out Josh Gordon than just about any receiver other than about 12 of them. So I that's where I have him ranked. I mean, I'd say top 30 right now is where I'm comfortable taking him because of the 4 games that he'll be suspended. But from week to week after he comes back, I think that there's not going to be, you're not going to be able to find 12 guys that you can rank on a week to week basis ahead of him.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Josh Gordon?
I don't completely disagree. I'm a little lower on him. I mean, he hasn't played in forever. He only had 1 monster year. He's missing 4 games. His quarterback Isn't that great?
How dare you? I dare you speak poorly of Robert
Griffin III. I think it was a great move by Cleveland to try to get him on the cheap to try to revive him. But let's be real, he's not exactly an elite passer right now. So I love Gordon's talent, but I mean, he's also, he may not be, who knows what kind of shape he's even in. Like, how, is he going to be nearly as explosive as he was?
There were reports that he had, like, ballooned up to, like, 270 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, he's still only 25. I'm sure he's still going to be a great athlete. But when you haven't played in 3 years, I don't know. I think I put him in around the 30-35 range at receiver. You know, it certainly is a thing that could pay off. I don't begrudge anyone for going a little bit earlier on him. But I think if you're expecting a return of Josh Gordon the old, I think there's way too many things going against him for that to happen.
I think I'm in the middle with you guys. I think I'm going to have him. I'm still trying to fit him into my wide receiver ranks. I thought I had him ranked, but I'm not seeming to be able to find him. Let's do a would you rather real quick. Would you rather Josh Gordon or DeSean Jackson?
Like right now in drafts?
Yeah, if you're drafting today.
I'm taking Gordon.
Okay. And I'm going based off of my wide receiver ranks. Doug Baldwin or Josh Gordon?
Baldwin.
Yeah. I'll go Baldwin, but it's super close.
Michael Crabtree or Josh Gordon?
Gordon for me.
Ooh, that's the right. I'm going Crabtree.
I think I'm going Crabtree too, and I think that's where he's going to fall for me.
Yep.
He's going to fall in between probably Doug Baldwin and DeSean Jackson for me, so that's going to put him at like 33.
I think that's exactly the spot I'm putting him at, 33, actually. I'm with you.
So I think I love Josh Gordon, and no one's been more of a Josh Gordon apologist than me. I mean, I've stood up for the guy on social media. I've drafted him virtually every year that I've been able to in fantasy. I'm a huge Josh Gordon fan and believer. I hope he can turn it around from a personal perspective. I'm willing to bet on it. You know, you can never say when you're dealing with someone who obviously has some sort of issue with drugs. I'm not going to call him a drug addict because that is something that should be self-diagnosed. But he's obviously got an issue with drugs, and you can never really 100% bank on that. But I'm willing to bank on the talent that I think is still there. And if I can get him as a wide receiver, a late wide receiver 2, early wide receiver 3 in 12-team formats, I'm going to take that all day. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number 1 in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right. We're going to jump into to our next topic, and that's looking at running backs coming into their second year. We're talking about a number of guys who were rookies last year, and kind of assess what we think their value is. Let's stop with the two big boys. That is Todd Gurley and David Johnson. Both are considered first-round picks this year, no matter the format. Start with you, Mike. Which one are you taking and why?
This is, like, honestly made me lose sleep because, you know, I saw this question a few days ago, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, in a draft, who would I take above who? And in my rankings, I have Gurley ahead. And I'll just, you know, be open with that. And I think that Gurley is the safer bet, in my opinion. But David Johnson, you know, when he got the majority of the snaps last year and was getting the majority of the touches from what, week 13 on, he was the number one running back in fantasy, and it wasn't particularly close. And Gurley, during that same time frame, was, you know, in the top 10, but he definitely wasn't near David Johnson. You know, I think that David Johnson is a much more skilled receiver. My only issue with the reason I have Gurley ahead is because I don't think there's really any competition for touches with him. With David Johnson, you have Chris Johnson still there. You still have Andre Ellington. You have a coach in Bruce Arians that likes to spread the ball around. So I will go with Gurley ahead of David Johnson, but Johnson's right behind him. I think that he is an elite talent, and he's going to be for the next 5-6 years.
Eli, what are your thoughts? Are you taking Gurley or Johnson?
Yeah, I have Gurley at 2, Johnson at 3. I think I agree with Mike. I just think Gurley has less competition. He's probably going to get a little bit more touches. I think he's more talented. The one thing that makes me almost go Johnson is just I think he's in a much better offense and he's got a better chance at scoring more touchdowns. And he's also a better receiver out of the backfield, I feel like. So you can't go wrong with either. Just flip a goddamn coin at this point.
Yeah, I think in a PPR format, I'm going Johnson because of his superior catch passing ability. But I'm in agreement with you. It's Gurley for me. I think somebody had Gurley as their number one running back. Oh, Mike. Mike has him as his number one running back. And I think there's a strong argument for that because he is going to be in a run-first offense with Jeff Fisher.
Jared Goff.
Goff as the quarterback. And really very few wide receivers to speak of. And he can hold up to that. And he, like Mike said, no competition whatsoever in that backfield. My biggest trepidation with David Johnson is just the other people in the backfield, and that he might not necessarily get a ton of carries at the goal line because they've got three big wide receivers that they could throw to with fade routes. With there's a lot of reason to think that David Johnson won't be the focal point. We know Todd Gurley will be as long as he's healthy. So that's the only reason why I would. Definitely take Todd Gurley over David Johnson, but in a PPR format, you can easily make the argument it needs to be flipped. Let's move on to the next next second year running back. That's Ameer Abdullah. Ameer Abdullah was everybody's favorite sleeper, quote unquote sleeper, because obviously he ended up going like in the fourth, fifth round. Someone told you people not to draft him. Somebody told you guys. No, Ameer Abdullah is overrated. Don't do it. Don't. He's got fumbling problems. He's not going to hold up at the NFL level. Even if he has a decent year, he's getting overdrafted. Somebody told you, but nobody listened. And I was right. What are your thoughts, Eli, this year on Ameer Abdullah? Because I believe you took him in the three sport leagues as well.
Yeah, he's okay. I think he's got a. I don't think he's going to kill you. I think he's going to get a fair amount of touches, so he'll be productive. I think he's got a chance to maybe break out a little bit. I had him at 28 on running backs right now. I mean, he did average 4.2 yards a carry last year. I know that's not amazing, but it's not a bad sign. I think like Matt Jones averaged like 3.6 or something stupid. I think Abdullah's got breakaway speed, can break a lot of big plays, can catch a little bit. I think that with Calvin Johnson being gone, they're going to run some more. So I just think, and I don't believe in the other guys they have. I know Riddick's like a good third down back, but he's not a very good runner on first and second down. And I'm not a Stephen Ridley fan, so I'm not too worried that Ridley's going to take away too many carries. So I think that the Lions are going to give Abdullah every opportunity to kind of see what he's got.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Ameer Abdullah?
Hell fucking no. That's my thoughts. Honestly, he had a torn labrum this offseason. I understand, this isn't the end of his career because of it. But he was borderline somebody that was going to go on the PUP. And, I mean, luckily he's not, so he's going to be a full go for training camp and everything. But first off, Detroit's offensive line is complete trash. Matthew Stafford was one of the highest sacked quarterbacks last year. And then on top of that, their run blocking was terrible. Abdullah, I love his speed. I mean, I was one of the guys last year that was hoping he was going to be one of the, nice rookie running backs. But, between Zach Zenner and then, they drafted, Dwayne Washington this year. I just, and then Theo Riddick is also going to be the third down back. That's already a known thing. So, I mean, in PPR leagues, I think Abdullah has to almost be completely off your draft board because he's not going to be in on third down. He still has pass protection issues. Stephen Ridley's still moping around the NFL. He's over with Detroit still. So, I mean, if Zenner or Ridley or Dwayne Washington, two of those three stay on the roster, then you're looking at probably a bit of a timeshare. I just don't want any part of him for this year. If he shows, some progression, I certainly will, keep him in the back of my mind for 2018 or 2017, whichever year it is. But for now, I'm out.
I want to be as indignant as Mike is right now, because like I said, at the introduction of his name, I was probably one of the lowest on him in the entire industry, much less on our site last year. But it's really hard to not look at where he's going in drafts and go, what the hell? He's got upside, right? I mean, he's going super low. I'm pulling up his ADP right now on ESPN.com, and he is currently going as the can't even find him. The 34th running back off the board, 93rd, or almost 94th overall. At that point, I think he's worth the pick. I mean, would you rather have him or Rashad Jennings?
Rashad Jennings for me.
Eli?
Actually, I have Jennings ranked two spots ahead of him, but Abdullah certainly has got more potential.
I've got Abdullah ranked over Rashad Jennings. Would you rather him or Danny Woodhead?
In PPR, Woodhead, for sure.
In PPR, Woodhead, but yeah. What about in standard?
I got Abdullah above Woodhead.
Let's see. I have Woodhead barely behind Abdullah, so I guess Abdullah.
So, I mean, I think he's going in a fair spot, worth the upside. I mean, especially yeah. if you've got your first two running back spots filled by the time you get there, and you're looking for a guy who might fill in at a flex, might fill in on bye weeks. You know, I mean, at that point in the draft, you're looking at guys like, I mean, I like Chris Ivory over him. I really haven't assessed yet how much I like Arian Foster in Miami. But, I mean, you know, he's got pretty high upside. If it all comes together and he can stop putting the ball on the ground, he could be something special. And I think you're getting the value this year that you weren't getting last year.
And to be fair, you know, pretty much all running back situations are a timeshare now. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say like Zach Center and Stephen Ridley, you know, aren't something that, you know, other football teams aren't going through, because I think every running back nowadays has some type of competition. But I don't know. I'm just really not in for Abdullah.
And I think that's one thing that you do have to think about that is a negative for Abdullah is, you know, you're going to hear me especially, and I don't know how you guys feel yet on handcuffing for this year. Of that, you know, you're going to want to handcuff a lot of your running backs. With the amount of injuries we saw last year that we've seen over the last few years, I want my backup, you know, especially for my studs, on my roster. And, you know, there's nothing that is anything good behind Amir Abdullah. And that doesn't push him up the same way it pushes up Todd Gurley. It actually just makes me scared because I don't want, if Abdullah goes down, do you guys want any part of that Detroit backfield?
No, not really. I mean, maybe Zenner.
Yeah.
And Riddick and PPR.
I don't want any of them.
Yeah, I agree with Justin.
So let's go ahead and move on to the next second-year running back. That's TJ Yeldon, who I thought could be a breakout candidate, and then they go out and sign Chris Ivory. Mike, what are your thoughts on TJ Yeldon going forward?
I'm still intrigued, and honestly, I think with Ivory, you know, with Ivory signing, it's not like they gave him a ton of money, you know, so I don't think it's necessarily something that is, you know, completely going to trash Yeldon's value. I like where he's going. I'm still willing to take a shot on somebody like Yeldon, especially since, like, I think we can, you know, it's fair to say that Denard Robinson isn't going to be somebody that can handle a full workload in the NFL. You know, Jonas Gray isn't very good either. So Ivory is really his main competition. And, you know, yes, he might get the goal line touches, but Ivory also has a massive injury past. Yeldon, regardless of how well he did last season, because he didn't have a great rookie year and he obviously didn't stay on the field either. I liked what I saw on the field. So this is more of like an eye test guy for me. I still have faith in him. I think he's going at a really fair spot in drafts. So I'm still in on Yeldon for this season. I think he's going 80th overall at the right, or no, 80th off the board overall right now, according to all the consensus ranks. So I'm cool with that spot.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Yeldon?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I got him 23rd among running backs. Chris Ivory does not scare me that much. When Yeldon was healthy last year, he was close to being a top 10 guy for the 12 weeks that he was healthy. And that's with only scoring two touchdowns. So I think Jacksonville's offense is going to be pretty damn good. So you got to think those touchdown opportunities are going to go up, even if Chris Ivory takes some of them away. And he's capable of catching some passes as well. So I really do like TJ Yeldon.
I like TJ Yeldon a lot. I definitely had to downgrade him a little bit in my ranks when they signed Chris Ivory. But this is another situation, I think, in which I will probably grab both of them if I'm taking one. So, this is a situation in which you can, you know, go fill out your wide receivers first, maybe grab a quarterback or a tight end, and then grab both these guys, in a two-round span, and feel pretty good that you're going to get one very good running back, more than likely. So, I don't necessarily trust Chris Ivory's health at his age. So, and with his running style. So, I actually did it. I was in the SBF 480, or what, SFB 480 satellite draft. And I took both Yeldon and Chris Ivory to kind of fill out my number two running back spot. I figure I'll get some use out of at least one of them throughout the season. Let's move on to the next second-year running back. That is my boy Matt Jones. And he's got the Redskins running back or backfield all to himself. Eli, is this the year that Matt Jones breaks out?
I suppose it's possible, but I like you said, obviously he's in a really good situation, but what has he shown us so far that really makes us think he's going to take advantage of this? I know he's pretty explosive, but when you 144 carries and 490 yards, that's 3.4. That's tough to do, man. I mean, we shit on Abdullah, but Abdullah averaged 4.2. So I get it. He's got the opportunity and he's talented, but I think if you're looking for a full breakout here, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Mike, before I drop some homerism, are you willing to back my boy Matt Jones?
I think based on where he's going in drafts, you know, there's really not a ton of guys around that area who can offer pretty much full time, you know, reps. And that's what I think Matt Jones could offer you. Am I a little bit worried that he had the second most fumbles among all running backs last season? Yeah, I'm a little worried about that. Am I a little worried that Chris Thompson stays on the field, especially in passing down situations, and that they have Keith Marshall? Yeah, I'm a little worried about that too, but right now, I'm definitely willing to buy him because I think that they are going to give him the opportunity. Washington's offensive line, I don't think, is terrible. And I think they certainly could use a running back like Jones who, you know, regardless of how well he did last year, he is a physical back that, you know, can definitely catch the ball out of the backfield as well. You know, I think he's, you know, somebody that can do okay. So I consider him a running back too.
Maybe he's not as physical as we thought, though. He was terrible with after contact, so that's not...
He was, and I'm willing to kind of let that go because they just didn't really grab anybody. Keith Marshall doesn't scare me. So the fact that they pretty much are showing as much faith as you possibly can in Matt Jones, you know, tells me that they are willing to give him a nice shot at the job, and on top of that, you know, afford him a little bit of leash as well.
Matt Jones is going to be a stud this year.
Oh boy! Okay,
he's going to lead the Redskins to a Super Bowl victory.
Okay, we just went off the rails.
In all seriousness, Justin, where do you have him ranked at running back?
I have him ranked 22nd, just behind Jeremy Langford, in front of Jonathan Stewart. And I think I'm probably going to move Stewart above him and Langford below him, so I'll do a little swap there. I think he is a low end RB2. At this point, but I think if you are going with a very common no quarterback strategy or no running back strategy early on, I think he's a guy that you can fill in late and feel pretty good about him. I took him in the three sport draft that we're all in. I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good about where I got him. I think he has the upside of a top 10 running back or even a top 5 running back. But the fumbling issues are what scared me.
Well, how is their offensive line? Like, you've been watching Washington this offseason. Like, do you think that their group is going to be good?
I think it'll be improved.
That might help the fumbles then.
No, the fumbles were if you watch the game tape, the majority of the fumbles were in open field.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You know, this was not an issue of in traffic, in between the tackles, losing the ball. It was on the edge. It was, you know, one time as he's diving in for a touchdown. This is a matter of him securing the ball, not of the team around him helping him. I think the improvement on the offensive line will help him, improve his yards per carry average, improve his overall game. But he's got to protect the ball. And if he can protect the ball, then Chris Thompson, Keith Marshall staying off the field. I do like Keith Marshall. If you're in a dynasty league, if you're looking for a guy who has talent and nobody really knows about him, so definitely invest like a late round dynasty pick on him. But in redraft leagues, you know, he's waiver wire fodder until something happens. And the preseason will be a big kind of test to see what Keith Marshall looks like coming off of ACL surgery a few years back. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about Jay Ajayi. I thought this was going to be Jay Ajayi's year to break out, but then they go and sign Arian Foster in Miami. Mike, what are your thoughts on Ajayi, and are you worried about Foster kind of taking away carries?
First off, I want to say that I love what Miami did with their offensive line this offseason. I wrote about this on friendswithfantasybenefits.com when Arian Foster was signed, but they got an absolute steal with Tinsley in the draft, in my opinion. You know, masked or not, I think that he was a value. And I think that the offensive line will certainly be something. I love that Adam Gase is there. I think that the Miami offense is certainly something, a team that I am targeting heavily in drafts right now. And even though Ajayi, if you look at his ADP right now, isn't great, that's based on, you know, Foster not being there, you know, prior to all these drafts happening. So I think that as we move into draft season, you're going to see Arian Foster go in probably about the eighth, you know, seventh to ninth round, somewhere in there. But Ajayi, I think, will drop from the fifth round all the way to about the seventh or eighth round as well, because people are worried about that. And I'm willing to buy that all day long. Ajayi, you know, he does have injury issues in his past, but he is a talented beast type runner. I really enjoy watching him play, and I think that if he was to have the full workload this year, we could have been more at risk of seeing him get injured a couple times this year. So I actually look at it as more of a good thing in terms of being able to buy him on draft day and having more weeks during the season where he might be able to give you more value as opposed to, you know, getting injured and not having as much.
All right, Eli, what are your thoughts on Ajayi?
I have no idea. you know, he had knee problems in college, and then he missed half of last year with cracked ribs. He didn't play much. He didn't play all that well. And Arian Foster's in the mix now. He's not a very big guy, so I don't see him going to – he might not be on third downs that often. I mean, he certainly got the potential to get a lot of carries, I suppose. And that offense could be pretty good. But I have him at 36. I might move him up a little bit. I'm interested to see where you guys have him.
I had him at 17 before the Arian Foster signing. Mike has him at 19. But there's a huge discrepancy between where you and I think Ben have him at 36, 34 respectively, where Mike and I have him 17 and 19 respectively. And I think that's what you're going to see in leagues and in drafts. There are going to be people that are all in on Ajayi and are willing to use a high pick on him, and then there are going to be people that are pretty much out, you know, would rather have a Duke Johnson or a Frank Gore instead. I'm probably going to drop him a little bit in my rankings in our next update, but I can't imagine dropping him below Langford, so I really can't. I'm not going to drop him too far. Maybe he drops out of the top 20. Let's move on over and let's talk about Jeremy Langford, the aforementioned Jeremy Langford. Eli, what are your thoughts on Langford for this year?
Yeah, I certainly like him a lot better than Ajayi. I got him at 22. He actually proved some of his talent last year, unlike some of these other guys like Matt Jones and Ajayi. So I like that fact. I don't think he's got a lot of competition. I think he's a dual threat kind of running back. He can catch a lot of passes. So I think he's just more safer and just as much upside as the other guys.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Langford coming into this year?
I disagree. I think that John Fox is a two running back type of guy. Jordan Howard fits exactly what he likes. I think Howard is an automatic guy to take goal line touches. Langford wasn't that explosive. If you look at it from a game-by-game basis last season, he didn't really capitalize on his opportunities. He did score, and he was helpful to fantasy teams, but he wasn't as good as you might think he was. I think that he's going to be overdrafted this year.
I tend to agree with Mike, and that really hurts me. Not because I don't want to agree with Mike, but I was super high on Jeremy Langford last year. And I looked pretty smart, but I Jordan Howard, I think is like the perfect fit for the system, and that scares me for Langford. I think Langford could be getting less than 50% of the carries when things kind of ramp up, you know, a couple weeks into the season. I think Howard might actually be the better bet, and is going way later. He's a guy that I believe I took in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Dynasty Football League. Rookie draft that we're having going on right now. I really like Howard this year. I love Langford. I love his skill set. But, yeah, you can't trust that he's going to get the majority of the carries, and I don't know if he will. What about Melvin Gordon? Melvin Gordon was another guy people were really, really high on. and I shied away from, and he disappointed most of the year. Mike, is this the year Melvin Gordon kind of gets it together?
I'm not going to find out by drafting him. I can tell you that. You know, he is going at a much more affordable spot than he was last season, but, you know, he went through microfracture surgery on his knee, you know, in the offseason. I don't think he's going to be completely healthy. I really still do not like San Diego's offensive line. They still have a ton to work on. They were actually the second worst last year in run blocking. I don't think they've done a ton to turn that around. I think that they're, again, going to be behind in a ton of games. If there's one San Diego guy that I love, it's Travis Benjamin, because I think he's going to fill that Malcolm Floyd role, and he's the perfect deep wide receiver to do it. And Danny Woodhead is, you know, when they're behind, he's going to be the passing down back. So if there's anybody I like from San Diego, it's Woodhead and Benjamin.
Keenan Allen's still my boy.
Oh, and Keenan Allen, of course. I mean, yeah.
All right. I was just about to say, it's like you can't mention San Diego without throwing Keenan Allen in there.
Yeah, I've just been so on the two that are like lesser in value. That.
Mm-hmm. Eli, what are your thoughts on Melvin Gordon?
Last year, his 184 carries without a touchdown is one of my favorite stats in the history of sports.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? 3.5 yards a carry is terrible. I know a lot of that is that the San Diego's offensive line is terrible. He actually did a pretty good job of missing tackles, so it's not completely on him. But he's clearly just not explosive. I mean, he had 33 catches, solid. Under 200 yards. This guy can't break anything. I know he doesn't have a lot of competition for first and second down work, because Woodhead's more of like a third down guy, but he sprinkles in some carries or whatever. But I don't know. I think I have him ranked like 30th or something. It makes me 33rd. Just running back's such a sorry position if this guy's in the top 35. But I guess they're going to give him one more opportunity. But with the line still sucking, I'm not sure how much he's going to get accomplished.
Yeah, he's a guy that's probably going to move down at some point in my rankings. I took him in a industry mock draft for Fantasy Football Magazine and it was mostly a panic pick because I was on the clock and I'd never used the drafting platform before, and I couldn't find anybody to take. And I ended up taking him and then realizing there were a number of guys that I would have rather had. I don't mind where he's going per se, but if the offensive line was a huge issue for him last year, they didn't do anything to address that this year. They didn't draft anybody, you know, that seems to be an instant starter on the offensive line. They didn't go out and spend money on the offensive line. That offensive line is going to be atrocious.
They did have a bunch of injuries last year, so I will, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt on that, but
it's going to be atrocious, Mike. Let's be honest here.
It will be. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really bad. I feel bad for Phillip Rivers. I feel bad for Melvin Gordon. But to me, the only three guys that are worth drafting on San Diego, at least their offense, or maybe four, because you got to throw in Antonio Gates still, you know, or Gates, Benjamin, Keenan Allen, and Danny Woodhead in PPR formats. All right, let's move on, and we're going to talk about our last guy. That is Duke Johnson. I think we can all agree at this point that Isaiah Crowell is never going to be a thing. So maybe this is the year Duke Johnson finally shines. Eli, what are your thoughts on Duke Johnson?
I certainly like him better in PPR leagues. I have 61 catches last year. That's really impressive. And that 534 yards. So he certainly knows how to do something with the ball, unlike someone else we just talked about. Yeah, I agree. Isaiah Crowell is not going to be a thing. So subpar as Duke Johnson was carrying the ball last year, I don't see why they're not going to just give him every opportunity again. So maybe he won't be great on the ground, but he'll make up for it with the catches, and I do think he's going to get a vast majority of the work. So I think he's safer than a lot of these other guys we've talked about. Maybe not the upside, but I think he's safer.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Duke Johnson?
I mean, I love Duke Johnson, but I think everybody and their mom does too, which, you know, I think he's a prime candidate, in my opinion, to kind of skyrocket up draft boards, you know, as the, you know, especially as drafting season goes on. But I disagree that Isaiah Crowell is just a terrible running back. He was a top 12 guy in the same weeks that I mentioned David Johnson earlier when talking about him and Todd Gurley. You know, Crowell was a top 11 guy in standard formats in those same weeks from week 13 to week 17 last season. And I don't see any report that Duke Johnson all of a sudden took over the starting running back gig. So I in my opinion, you know, especially with RG3 there, if RG3 and Hugh Jackson are able to, you know, link up and form a pretty formidable offense, you know, we all know how Hugh Jackson likes to use his running backs. He likes to have, you know, Jeremy Hill type, the boulder that, you know, goes in between the tackles. And then he likes to have a Gio Bernard type like Duke Johnson, you know, go outside the numbers and, you know, do well on the outside. I think that this is a situation where it's going to be a split backfield. And, you know, as much as I like Johnson, I definitely am targeting him in drafts. I don't think I'll be able to acquire him because he's going to go a little bit too high for me.
Yeah, I like him in PPR formats, but I think he's going to probably go a little bit higher than I'm willing to spend. Right now, currently on ESPN, he's the 30th running back off the board, 83rd overall. I don't mind that spot. I really don't.
I don't either.
So as long as his spot doesn't go up too much higher and ESPN doesn't cater to PPR where I would most likely target him, I think that's fair drafting. I think he does have some upside, but I'm done with Isaiah Crowell. Maybe I've just been burnt by him too many times, but I just don't think he's a very good running back. The interior of that line isn't as good as it should be, and so I prefer to take Duke Johnson and his pass-catching ability and his ability to get to the outside. All right, well, that is going to wrap up our first episode of the new year. Eli, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB, and be sure to check out the DFS channel. I seem to have to do every one these days because Mike and Cam never show up.
Hey, I was on there with you.
Well, yeah, I thank you for filling in for those slackers.
All right, Mike, where can you be reached? What are you working on?
Just want to say I'm really excited about football season being back. I don't know if you guys can probably hear that in my voice, but I'm super excited for it to be back. And definitely subscribe to the new feed and give us a rate and review. It helps us kind of go up the ranks and everything. And you can catch me on Twitter at Mike Werner FWFB. Still going strong with baseball. Got the, you know, DFS podcast that I never show up to on Fridays. And we got the flagship show on Wednesdays. Matt and I do the prospect pod on Mondays. I got a article coming out for football pretty much every week at this point. The ranks are out. Check me out on Baseball HQ that you don't want to hear about, but yeah.
You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Definitely give us a rate and review on our new feed. Hopefully people are finding the new feed and being able to hear us. We will definitely be tweeting this out a whole bunch so that way people can get a hold of us. We will have a listener league. It'll probably be thrown together last minute since we're starting a little bit late this year. But in order to get into it, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Screenshot it, send it to me so that way I know it's you, and we will get you in the league. It will be probably a 12 or 14 team standard league. I haven't decided, I will play in it, but I don't know if Mike or Eli or Matt are going to play in it as well. But we shall see. And there will definitely be some sort of prize for it. So definitely check us out on iTunes. Definitely check us out on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. For Eli, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.